Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
When we were kids, we often made solemn promises, usually sealed with the famous Cross My Heart and Hope to Die pledge. We all knew that if the circumstances warranted, we could always abandon the promise without too much fear of the consequences actually occurring. Some seem to consider the promises of God in about the same light. The giving of conditional promises to Israel was for the same purpose that he gave the law to them. They were given so that men might be made aware of their inability to meet the conditions necessary to enjoy the blessings, just as the law was given for the purpose of revealing their sin. Paul made it quite clear that the law was weak through the flesh. The law and the conditional promises of it are good. They are both established to manifest the weakness of sin and the inability of men to keep either of them. Paul said, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He said that the law is good if a man keep it, but it ministers nothing but condemnation if a man does not keep every jot and tittle of it. Because to break one part of it in any wise is to break the whole. This promise of judgment and condemnation to lawbreakers is that which drives them to the feet of Christ to beg for mercy. When the law in its awful power is revealed to them by the Holy Ghost, they are stripped of any hope of ever keeping the law or being able to gain favor with God by keeping those conditional promises. Some believe that you can turn the blessings of God on or off like a man would flip a light switch. Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." I have no doubt that men can and will choose to do evil, but I find nothing in the Scripture that would indicate that they have been given the power to choose to do good, except that the Lord should work such in them. The writer of the Hebrews says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, built upon better promises. In fact, the only true promises that were given under the old covenant were promises of condemnation, because it was certain that those to whom these conditional promises were given could not and would not keep them. But God, willing to demonstrate the glory of his grace and the mighty power of the same, established the new covenant, which was in no wise conditional at all, but a clear declaration of what he guaranteed he would do for and in his elect people. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." There are no conditions that must be met that he has not performed for his elect people, in whose hearts he has written his laws. For they are those to whom he reveals himself and causes them to believe in him of whom they have heard. He is their God, and they are his people. For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and amen, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. He has determined to bless them and give them his kingdom. They are made heirs and joint heirs with Christ and seated in heavenly places. They are filled with his Spirit and given faith according to the measure which he determines. They are heirs of the promise and not subjects of some premise which neither they nor their fathers could keep. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Do you rest in the promise of God?
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.